Hey everyone, and welcome back for another deep dive. You know how much I love geeking out on this stuff. So today, I'm excited because we're going to be talking about the best practices for Saucy UX / UI design. And I think, you know, we're going to be pulling some insights from a really great article I found called Saucy UX UI Design, 15 Best Practices for Higher User Retention.
Awesome. Yeah. And you know, it's really interesting because like, when we think about SaaS products, it's not just like a one-time purchase, right? You're actually building a relationship with that product.
That's exactly, yeah.
So it's kind of like, just like in any relationship, that first impression and, you know, those consistent positive interactions, they're super crucial for, you know, building that long-term engagement.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I could definitely think of products that I've, you know, used where I've been like, oh, this is so frustrating. I'm out of here. Like, I'm not going to, you know, use this anymore. And you know, the article talks about this concept of like, don't make me think, which seems so obvious. But how do you actually design for that? Because like measuring a user's cognitive load seems like you would need like a whole, you know, team of scientists doing all sorts of, you know, brain scans and stuff.
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, it sounds complicated, but it's really about understanding user psychology. And like you said, just making things intuitive.
Right.
So you want to minimize that mental effort it takes for someone to actually use the software.
Gotcha.
And, you know, there's a lot of different ways to go about this, like just thinking about the visual hierarchy of the design.
Did I?
So like making sure that your user's eye is immediately drawn to like the most important elements, right? Mm-hmm. You don't want them to be like hunting around for stuff. Another thing is just thinking about the language that you're using.
Oh, yeah.
So using concise microcopy, you know, short direct language instead of these like jargon heavy explanations that just totally lose people. And then just the overall information architecture. So thinking about how you're organizing the features, the different options within the product and making sure that it's just laid out in a way that makes sense.
So like almost like, you know, when you walk into a room that's super cluttered versus a room that's super organized.
Totally.
Where you can like immediately find what you're looking for. That's kind of what we're talking about, right?
Exactly. Yeah. It's like decluttering the user's mental space.
Love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, speaking of making things easy for users, like what about onboarding? Because I know that's something that I personally have really struggled with in the past. Like I've signed up for a product and then the onboarding process is just so confusing.
It's the worst.
I just give up. I'm like, you know what? I don't even need this that badly.
It's such a crucial moment because you know, that's like the first impression. It's like that welcome mat for your users.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if they're immediately met with like a really complicated, confusing process, they're just going to bounce.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I feel like some products try to like front load all of the information in the onboarding, which is just like way too much.
Information overload.
Yeah, exactly. It's overwhelming. So it's more about like breaking things down into smaller steps, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So instead of like throwing the whole kitchen sink at them right away,
right,
you want to break down those complex tasks into like bite-sized pieces, maybe like interactive tutorials that kind of guide them through.
Oh, I love those.
Yeah. And, you know, even little things like contextual tooltips.
Oh, yeah.
That only pop up when they're needed. So they're not like cluttering the interface all the time.
Right.
And then even like, you know, progress indicators that show the user that they're actually moving forward.
Yes.
Because that can create like a sense of accomplishment.
Totally.
Even in those like early stages and make them feel like, okay, cool. I'm actually making progress.
Yeah. Like, I'm getting somewhere. I'm achieving something.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's almost like, you know, gamifying that onboarding experience a little bit.
A little bit. Yeah. Just to keep them, you know, keep them motivated.
Right.
Keep them going. Keep them engaged.
And so, you know, once you've got them through that onboarding process.
Yeah.
How do you actually maintain that engagement over the long term? And I feel like personalization has to play a role there, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Personalization can be incredibly powerful.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's a delicate balance. You know, you have to strike the right chord.
Totally.
So, you know, you can do things like having a dashboard that adapts to the user's role.
Okay.
So like, you know, highlighting the features that they're most likely to use based on, you know, what they do. Or you can do things like content recommendations based on their past behavior.
Oh, yeah. Like the, you might also like this kind of thing.
Exactly. But you have to do it in a way that feels helpful and not creepy.
Right. Right. Because I think, you know, we've all had those experiences where we're like, how do they know that about me? This is weird. So, yeah, it's like finding that sweet spot where it's like, okay, this is actually useful. This is actually enhancing my experience, but it's not, you know, crossing any lines.
Exactly. Yeah. It's all about using data thoughtfully.
Right.
to enhance the user experience, not to exploit it.
Exactly. And it's interesting because I feel like there are some apps that I've used where it's like they've gone too far with the personalization.
Yeah. You can definitely go overboard.
Yeah. And it's almost like it's too much. It's like,
right.
I don't need you to know everything about me.
Yeah.
Just, you know, give me the information that I need when I need it.
Exactly. Yeah. Keep it subtle. Keep it strategic.
Totally. But, you know, beyond tailoring the experience to like individual users, there's also this need for consistency across the board, right?
Yes. Consistency is huge.
Yeah.
Because that's how you build trust and you reduce that friction in the user experience.
Right.
Because think about it, like you wouldn't want a light switch to randomly change locations in your house, right?
No, that would be so annoying.
It would be so frustrating and be like, what's going on? So similarly, in a SaaS product, you know, all of the buttons, the menus, the icons,
right?
They should all behave in a way that's predictable.
Gotcha.
So that the user can just focus on their tasks and they're not trying to decipher like a constantly changing interface.
So it's like creating this sense of familiarity and control.
Exactly.
For the user. So like they know what to expect.
Yeah. They feel confident using the product.
Right. And that's so important. So let's like bring this all together. We've talked about the importance of intuitive design that minimizes cognitive load.
Yeah.
We've talked about creating a seamless onboarding process, you know, making sure the personalization is done thoughtfully, and then also maintaining this consistent design language. So it's interesting to see how all of these different elements work together to create like a truly engaging and valuable SaaS experience.
Yeah. It's like all of these pieces fit together to create that cohesive whole.
Right.
And, you know, at the end of the day, every interaction that you have with a SaaS product is like having a conversation. So, you know, as you're navigating your favorite apps, I would encourage you to just like take a step back and be like, okay, is this conversation engaging?
Okay.
Is it leading me towards my goals? Am I feeling empowered or am I feeling frustrated?
Wow. I love that.
And, you know, just by being mindful of those like conversational cues,
yeah,
you can actually become a more discerning user.
Totally.
And you can start to advocate for better SaaS design.
That is such a brilliant analogy. I'm going to like never look at my SaaS apps the same way again.
I'm glad.
So thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. I hope you've, you know, learned a lot about the world of SaaS UX UI design. And we encourage you to like explore this further, you know, see how these principles actually play out in the products that you use every single day.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
This is just the tip of the iceberg.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks, everyone.